Okay, well, God bless you, everyone, and welcome to Fellowship. And I've been very blessed lately, and been blessed with the teachings. Amy, Jason, and Kim, wonderful sharings, wonderful things that God's been working in their hearts. And what's in my heart, it kind of falls in line with what the guys have been sharing about love and compassion, what is a Christian. But what I want to ask you is, and maybe you take time and think for yourself, what word, one word, would you attach to these five words I'm going to read you now? So these five words is faith, love, forgiveness, compassion, and kindness, and tenderness. What one word would go for all these words? Any ideas? Anyone?
Christian.
Not Christian, no. What one word would you associate with faith, love, forgiveness, compassion, kindness, and tenderness? Maybe I should say it that way.
What one word?
Yeah, there's one word that you can associate with these six words, actually. Faith, love, forgiveness, compassion, kindness, and tenderness. Okay, what I'll do, to save on time, I'll tell you the one word that you can associate with them, and that's action. Okay, if you've got faith, there'll be action. If you've got love, there should be action. If you've got forgiveness, there will be action involved with that forgiveness. There'll be action involved with compassion. There'll be action involved with kindness. There'll be action involved with tenderness. And as you know, we like to title our teachings, and this is also a good indicator for the blog, for when people are looking for a certain teaching they may want to listen to or get encouraged by. So I've titled this teaching, Compassion Promotes Action. Just like love is an action, faith is also promotes an action. There's faith without works is what? Dead. And to have works, you've got to have action. And so the word compassion is the word I want to look at tonight. We've looked at the word love and what is a Christian. And really, one of the badge of Christianity is the love of God. And that's love shown in our actions, in our words, in our deeds, and the things that we do and how we are. And what is manifested from our lives shows us if we're a Christian or not, right? Shows us if we are a believer. And one of the great badges that we can put on our chest along with the love of God is compassion. In fact, compassion comes from love, right? Yeah. All these other things come from love. Faith, which is energized by love. Forgiveness is through love. Compassion is through love. Kindness is through love. Tenderness is through love. And compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, along with the desire to alleviate it. Okay, so compassion, if you've got compassion, okay, it's having a sympathetic consciousness of others' distresses and along with the desire to meet or to alleviate that need. So, you know, we're supposed to get our hands dirty, okay? We need to get involved as God shows us and leads us and opens the door. When he shows us something and we can do something, then we should do it, okay? And so I want to have a look at a few records and scriptures of what God says about compassion, or the action of compassion, how we can see that. And the first record I want to go and look at is in Luke chapter 10. And if you think of the compassion of Jesus Christ, he was always compassionate with people, always loving with people, always kind with people, always forgiving with people. He installed faith in people. He had tenderness towards people, and he certainly had compassion towards others, and he had the great desire to go and alleviate the need of other people. And that should be in our life and walk. And so as believers, we shouldn't be criticizing one another. We shouldn't be damning one another. We shouldn't be complaining against one another, especially that we're born again and that we got Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we've been brought with the same price. Each of us have been brought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our words for each other should be high words, words of edification. And our lives is all about building up the body of Christ. And it's not just by adding new people that God adds new people by us, but it's edifying the people within the body of Christ. Not just within one local fellowship. Yeah, it starts there, but that should spread out to other believers that we come in contact with, to other people we come in contact. We can edify and we can encourage other people. And we can give great words of wisdom from God to people. We can advise people, we can encourage people to do the right thing when they want to do a wrong thing in a situation. Okay, when they want to act on a negative, we can encourage them to act the right way, and that God will bless them as they act that way and as they take our advice. So this is a great record here in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start from verse 25. And it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," Jesus, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou?" How do you read it? What's your interpretation of it? How do you perceive what's been written? "And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Isn't it nice to notice here that this guy knew what was said? But you know what? He wasn't doing it. How do I know that? Because why would Jesus Christ say to him, "This do, and you should live," right? But he willing to justify himself. And, you know, it's quite easy that we all want to kind of justify what we say and what we do and how we act. He says, "He willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him." He seen the need of this person, and he wanted to do something about it. And that should be the heart of every born-again child of God, filled with the Spirit of God. Because we got the nature of God living and dwelling in us. We got the love of God in us by the Holy Spirit. We got the compassion of Jesus Christ in us. We got the faith of Jesus Christ in us. We got all those attributes of doing the right thing, built within that Spirit of God within us. And as we're walking upon the truth, and as we're setting our heart upon God, we will act in the way that Jesus Christ would have acted. We can do the same works that he done and greater, right? And this is some of the works that he would have done. He seen needs and he alleviated those needs. He wanted to help people out of their need. And that's what we're supposed to do as believers. Verse 34, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him." It cost this guy something to do this, right? And his time as well. "And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbour unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do likewise." What do you think Jesus Christ would say to us today? Go and do likewise. That mercy, in that mercy is compassion. Is to see the needs of other people, and because we may be in a position to help that other person, do we withhold what we've got to help that other person? But a lot of people, including believers, don't want to let go of what they got because it's for them. But God has given us so that we can give. God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. Okay, God has given us power and authority so that we can use and show and demonstrate the compassion of God in Christ in us. And I love this record. Okay, because it just shows you the great heart that all the people that should have done something didn't do nothing. And the ones that you wouldn't expect to do something went and done something. And so, if put yourself that you was the one that fell by the wayside, you was the one that fell among the thieves and you got beat, you would want someone to come and help you. You would want someone to do what this Samaritan done to this fellow here, right? Yeah? So that's what you would want done to you. And the commandment is to love your neighbour as yourself. What you would want done to you is what you should be doing for others. That's loving your neighbour as yourself. So we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourself. How I would love me, how I would expect it to be treated, how I would be expected to take care of. That's what we're supposed to do for others. And that's what God says. That's the example Jesus Christ set forth for us. And God doesn't want us to be selfish people. Okay, he wants every need. He wants equality amongst his people. He wants his people blessed and edified with their needs met. And God needs people to do that. God needs you to do that. You are the person that could be the need met for someone else. Okay, if God didn't need us to do it, then he wouldn't get us preaching the word. He wouldn't have given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's been committed to us. If we didn't need people to honour God, then God would be throwing money out of the sky then, wouldn't he? If God didn't want us to heal people, he would just heal us naturally. But he's given this privilege and this ability. He's given it to us to minister these things. Whether we're ministering finances, the word of God, we're ministering healing, we're ministering direction, we're comforting. We're the ones to do it. Are we being that Samaritan? Or are we like the other guys that just see the need but walk on by? Only you can answer that question. I'm not pointing this at anyone. And I believe that God is actually working in us and showing us things that need to be addressed amongst his people, as I wouldn't even be teaching it. And this is stuff that really just easily come together for me. And I know God put things in Kim's heart, and I know God put things in Jason's heart and Amy's heart to share. And we really believe that God is working. And we see God at work. We've got open doors. We're ministering to other people. We are also helping to alleviate the needs of others, even when we have need. And so that's the heart, that's love, that's compassion. And just because you might know all the word of God and you can speak in tongues and you can prophesy and you can cast mountains into the sea, it doesn't mean nothing with God if you've got no love. And wrapped up in that love of God is compassion, is faith, is kindness, is forgiveness, is tenderness. Wrapped up in that love of God is meeting the needs of other people. That is what we're all about. And it starts in the household of God. Everything starts in the household of God. So I want to have a look at another couple of records. The one I want to go to now is in Exodus chapter 34. What does it say about God? Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 34. And you look at this beautiful record, you see. 34. And it says in verses 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, And this word merciful also means full of compassion. Our God is a God full of compassion. And this compassion of God, which he is full of, God is full of compassion. We know God is full of love, is wrapped up within Christ. And Christ is wrapped up within us. And as we line our minds up with what God says in his word, and as we realize who we are in Christ, that we have this wonderful ability and we have this wonderful heart to minister to the needs of others, that we can be full of compassion. We are full of compassion. We just got to manifest it. And it isn't a thought, it isn't a nice feeling, but it's an action that we do. It's something that we make up our minds with God to do. And when we do that, we will see great needs being met. People don't care what you know until they what? Know that you care. It's a true saying. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And when you show that love and care, then people will start to listen to what you have to say. We've seen this, just helping an old lady onto a bus, or helping someone carry in their shopping bags. I know it seems very trivial, but these little acts of compassion and love and seeing the need of others can open up doors to share the greatness of God's word, the greatness of God's love, to speak that word into someone's life. And we can't let go of that. The adversary, the God of this world, he wants you to be full of needs, so that your mind is so much on your knee that you haven't got a chance to think of being compassionate towards others, because your mind is focusing on you. And the devil wants you to think about you, when God says, give. You are my extension of giving. And God has given us everything, the biggest thing anyone can give us. And so we see that God is merciful and gracious. He's full of compassion. That should be coming from us as believers. And let's see some of this attributes of God. Like, how is this merciful and graciousness played out? Well, number one, we can see it in what he done through his son, Jesus Christ, by sending his one and only son. God seen the need. And it says he for so loved the world. Do you think when it says, for God so loved the world, that within that was the compassion, was the kindness, was the tenderness, was the forgiving, was the faith to do something about it, in that he sent his only son, that we could live a life more than abundant, now here upon the earth, as well as afterwards, that we could be saved from eternal death, separation from God. And it cost the life of his son. That is probably the greatest act of compassion that we can see from our Heavenly Father, as well as from our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life. He gave it up from his free will choice so that other needs can be met through the generations until God sends him back. So let's have a look at, where did I say Psalms? Psalms 103. And I just love this, these records on compassion. In fact, actually, a wonderful minister who's now asleep, Reverend John Schroyer, who founded the Christian Family Fellowship, he actually has a little booklet on this title, Compassion, and it was a fantastic thing that he put together there. So I don't know, if you get in contact with Christian Family Fellowship, I'm sure they'd be able to send you his book, that of his study of on teaching and what he'd done on compassion. But it blessed my life, I know that. But Psalms 103, and in first one it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." See, there's the benefits of God. God gives us benefits. In fact, it says he loads us with benefits, what? Daily. Daily God loads us with benefits. And God says, don't forget these benefits. Standing for the one true God, there's benefits. Have you claimed your benefits? I know there's a lot of people that are unemployed and they go to the local job exchange to claim their benefits, right? And they have to find out what they're entitled to claim the benefits, because the government don't tell them. They have to do their own research, and then they know what they can claim for. What can you claim for from God, which he's already given to you freely? All right? He loads you with benefits daily. Is God a liar? No. Every day, God loads us with benefits. And he loads us with benefits so that we're blessed, and we can load other people with benefits as well. God has given in to you so you can give out. And he wants you to do it with a pure heart of love. Not for, you know, it'd be a good thing to practice giving without trying to receive. I think if we get our mindset that we give without the mindset of receiving, because I think a lot of people have got into the mindset, well, I'm going to give this because I'm going to receive that. But you know what? Why don't you just give? Why don't you just give from a free heart, expecting nothing in return? Didn't Jesus Christ say that? Don't expect nothing in return. Because why? We don't have to expect it and think about it, because God's going to do it anyway. God's going to bless you. God is our Father. He's going to take care of you. Man, we do worry at times. Okay, but he really is going to take care of us. And that's why we need the body of Christ. But when we do get down, we need to hear someone speak these words into our lives to encourage us, to bless us, and say, listen, don't worry. And by the way, now I know of your need, I can help you. Then do it. It's really wonderful. And anyway, so verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like that of the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are what? Oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and what? Gracious. There it is again. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. That also includes compassion. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him, respect him. As far as the east is from the west, and the east and the west never meet, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father loveth, this word pitieth is loveth his children, so the Lord loveth them that fear him, respect him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the what? Mercies. Have a look at this word mercies. Isn't it? It's compassion. The mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that respect him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to what? To do them. It's all about doing, guys. It's all about the action. It's all about the action. We can know all these things, but it's no good unless we do these things. God has given us his word so that we can apply it into our life. You know, I'm reminded of a record where it says, in Deuteronomy, where it says, God has given you power to get wealth. He's given you the power to get wealth. It's already in your hands. Did you know that? And in Genesis 8:22, it says, about seed time and harvest, right? There's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping. That's the power he's given you to get wealth, the sowing and your reaping. A lot of people are eating their seed and coming into need. If you eat your seed, you're coming to need. You need to sow your seed and come out of your need. God ministers bread for your food. He gives you your needs for basic living. He'll meet your basic need to stay alive. And he's going to give you seed to sow. You may say, well, I only earn so much. Sorry, God has given you seed somewhere for you to sow. And if you sow that seed in faith, what God has given to you is going to come back to you. And God is going to multiply your seed sown. So some people say, well, I can't give out of a need. No, you shouldn't give out of a need. Because God has met your basic need to live, but he will give you seed to sow. And if you haven't sowed your seed, that's why you're still in your need. And so this is something that you can go to God with. I'm not lying, it's in the Bible. You can take a look, you can call me a liar, a money grabber, or I'm after your money. I'm not. I'm just saying, if you want to come out of your need, you've got to sow your seed. Stop eating your seed, saying that is your need. God, if you've got food in your belly, and you've got your clothes on your back, and a roof over your head, your need's met. And I can guarantee you, God has given you something that you can sow. Seed within seed, it should reproduce. Like an apple has more seed in it, so more apple trees can be planted and grow, right? So there's more fruit. Do you think God has met our needs? The needs are met, but it's up to us how we appropriate what he's given us. And are we doing what he's telling us to do? And when we do what God tells us to do, then we will get the abundance that he wants us to have. We'll get the desired results he wants us to have. If God says command healing and you pray, okay, you might get a healing. But if you command, you're going to get a healing. When you do it in faith, when you believe the words that you say and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say is going to come to pass, you shall have it. Right? These are all principles. These are all things that we can do. This is what Jesus Christ taught. And when we do, then we will get the same results. Okay? So God has met your basic need to live, but he's given you seed to sow. That's your power to get wealth. Okay? And then he's given you other principles to apply, like working and doing it heartily unto the Lord. All these things, he's given us the power to get wealth. It's up to us to utilize it. It's up to us to believe God and trust God. Okay, that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. And it says in the word that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it, and shall he not make it good? And all of this requires that one little word, faith. And so anyway, let's go to Isaiah. Another record in Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's get to these pages. It's a bigger book. Psalms 54. And in verse 8 it says, Psalms 54 verse 8. In a little wrath I have hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy, compassion on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. In a little wrath I had hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. So God is a God of compassion, and we're his children, and that should be one dominant thing that should be coming from us. But if the compassion's coming from us, the love's coming from us, right? And it takes faith, it takes an action to prove that. Is there a record where it says prove the sincerity of your love? I'm sure it is, isn't it? Anyway, let's go to Matthew. Don't forget, we're looking at the word compassion here, and our God is very compassionate, very loving, very giving. And he's done something about it. He's shown his love through the actions of sending his son and doing mighty works through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was obedient to do what God told him to do, and God was able to do what he wanted to do. Just like with Moses, God told Moses what to do when he went before Pharaoh, and everything God told Moses to do, and Moses done it, God was able to do the miracles. And so when we do what God shows us to do, God is able to perform what he wants to perform, and to show himself a faithful God to us, as well as what his word says, and to other people. So God's a mighty God. In Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 35 it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Do you think he was just healing people for the sake of it? No, he was moving with the love of God. He was showing the compassion of God that was within him. And he had great heart towards people. And it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw the needs of these people. Okay, and he knew what needed to be done. It says in verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Those labourers, the ones that are going to work for God and do work for God, are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Jesus Christ would not have told them to pray to the Lord of the harvest if God would not send them if we prayed. So we know when we pray for labourers, God is going to send them, because there's great need. Today hasn't changed. It hasn't changed from the time he's spoken. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers, the ones that are going to dedicate their lives to God, the ones that are going to put God above anything else, that is what God wants. The labourers are the ones that we should be praying for. So God wants you to pray for the labourers. And I think it was 2 Corinthians 8:8 where it says, prove the sincerity of your love. Just as that come back to my mind. So praying for labourers, that is one thing that we can do. That God, you give us the hungry hearts. You give us the labourers. Send them into your field. Send me a labourer. Someone that I can encourage and send out into your harvest. And God is going to send those labourers, because God is faithful. God is the one that's going to bring it to pass. We need to do our part. And it's the same. If we want to see God's abundance, we need to do our part. If we want to see God's healing, we need to do our part. If we want to see multitudes, then we need to follow what God says and be led by the Spirit of God. God is the one that does his work, and he's looking for people that are going to do what he's leading them by his Spirit to do, and people that are going to be faithful to declare the word to other people, people that are going to do what he says and not follow a man or a woman or a ministry, but move with the living true God, just like Jesus Christ done, just like Peter done, just like Paul done. These guys moved. They weren't together all the time, but they moved with God. And God was able to direct him, just like Peter showed Cornelius to send men to Peter. And then God showed Peter to get off the roof and follow and go with those men back to Cornelius' house, so these guys could receive the fullness of what God's made available from the day of Pentecost. It's all about heart. We've got to have heart, people. We've got to have compassion. And we've got to have love. And we can't just get cozy in our own little fellowships. There's a whole body of Christ. There's needs out there. And if they're going unmet because we're just staying in our own little circle, then something is wrong with the picture. Something is wrong with that picture. Okay? So let's get walking with the Father, and let's do what he's showing us to do. Let's meet the needs within the body. And let's meet the needs without the body, so that God can be glorified and people can see that there is a compassionate, living God who sees their need and he's done something about it. Let's heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Let's manifest the love of God to people. Let's show them the love through our actions and lifestyle. Let's, when we say, yes, I'm a believer, let's prove that. In fact, we shouldn't have to say we're believers. People should say, you're a believer. There's something different about you. You're one of those Christian folk, aren't you? Have you been with Jesus? Like when the disciples went before the Sanhedrin after healing the guy that was lame at the temple, they took note that these guys had been with Jesus. These guys, the disciples, they were good disciples. They followed. They may have missed the mark at times, but they were marked out. And the mark that we've got today is Holy Spirit. Are we manifesting that? Are we manifesting it? Matthew chapter 14. There's some really wonderful records that you can look at. Matthew 14. And in verse 14 it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick." He wasn't just moved with compassion, he didn't just have a feeling for them. He wanted to do something. It reminds me of Klaus in Germany. And they got all these immigrants coming in. And he really wants to do something, you know, and God's opened up doors for him to go and minister and to be a blessing amongst these people. He's not afraid of all the scaremongering that the news has been promoting, you know, terrorists and all that stuff. But he wants to really go in there and really meet needs. And that should be all of our hearts, to really see the need and to get out there and do something about it as God leads us by his Spirit to do it. God's working in Klaus and in Ernie to do that, and they're doing that. And the people in their fellowship, I believe, are doing that as well. It's a great, great witness. And I thought I'd mention that just to encourage you. So, Matthew 15, and in verse 32. "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes." That's it. No, he carries on. He says, "Because they continue with me now 3 days and had nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way." Jesus Christ knew that they had a physical need. It wasn't just spiritual needs he met. It wasn't just the physical body needs he met, but he knew that they needed food, sustenance. They needed to be sustained. And he had compassion. Like, he was like, these guys have been listening, they've been following me, and I can't send them away. "And his disciples said unto him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and gave thanks and brake them, and gave to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled." So another miracle took place because of the compassion. Because Jesus moved with compassion, he used what he had, but he gave it to God first, and God was able to multiply it. And this has happened amongst the believers as well, where they've been cooking and they've had extra people turn up, and they only had enough for, say, 10 and 20 people's turn up, and they fed the whole lot. And everyone was filled with food left over. You know, God still does this today. It isn't just here. It started here. But God still does these things today. Matthew chapter 20. We're just having a look at some records of compassion. And you can really do your own study on this and build it up for yourself and see the heart. We need to get the heart of the love of God in action. The heart of the love of God in Christ in action. And that needs to get into us and come out of us in the way that we do and how we act towards others. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 34 says, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received the sight, and they followed him." And I'll read that from verse 29 actually. It says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, 2 blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitudes rebuked them." Oh, shut up, we're busy, we're doing other things. No, that's what they probably said. They were trying to be quiet, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more. Sometimes you've got to cry out and say, "Look, I got need. Help us out here." Saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Man, they was able to follow me. He met their needs and they followed him. You know, some people get their need met by God, then they don't follow no more. They go on their own little merry way until they come into need again. And that's just to reiterate some of the things Jason was talking about, and also Kim. In Matthew, okay, we've read that. I put that down twice. So, Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 15. So Luke chapter 15, and I love this record, and I want to read through this record, because it just shows you the love and compassion here. And really, it's a representation of God's heart for his people and for his kids. And in Luke chapter 15, in the first one, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." There's always someone pointing the finger. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you have 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 unjust persons which need no repentance." And then, so that just shows you, he's emphasizing how important it is that one person gets saved. And that one person could be saved for an act of compassion and love through you. That one person could come to Christ because they may have done you wrong, but you've forgiven them and they've seen the love of God in Christ in you and they've got born again and you shared the word with them. We need to have great love. We need to have great compassion. We need to walk with the mind of Christ and we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And when we decide that we're going to be led that way, then God is going to open up great doors for us to walk through. And I want us to jump down to verse 11, and it says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." So this guy, you know, he got all this abundance, all his inheritance off his dad, and he went and wasted it, right? And then a big famine happened. He didn't take into account that this was going to happen, or made provisions, or put anything aside. And he become into want. Verse 15. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." No one gave anything to him. "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he knew that where his need was going to get met. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." I mean, man. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and what? Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Why? Because he loved him. It was his son. All right, he'd done wrong. He took his inheritance and wasted it. But his dad missed him from the day he went. And when he saw him, even though he screwed up, man, he had compassion. This always touched my heart. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." The guy's got humble now. "And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." This father was so happy that his lost son was found again. His lost son come home. There's some believers out there that are lost. You need to come home. And God's going to do the same for you. Because that's the love of the father. That's compassion. God doesn't love you because of, he loves you in spite of. In spite of what you've done, in spite of what you said, in spite of how you acted, that's how he loves you. It's fantastic, isn't it? Think about it. Verse 24. For this is my son was dead. He didn't know what happened to his son. Far as we could have been dead. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not therefore go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. No, you've been faithful, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, when someone goes away and they come back to the fellowship, if you haven't seen, didn't you rejoice? I know some of the old believers would say, oh, not him again, not her again. Where's the love of God in that? You know, if anyone comes back that's been in this fellowship, I rejoice, because I know my Father in heaven rejoices. I'm so thankful for them. And if they go again and come back again, I'll receive them again. And if they go and they come back, I'll receive them again and again and again and again. Because how many times has God received us? How many times has God forgiven us? We're forgiven. Even as believers, we screw up. We're forgiven. So how many more times should I forgive? How much compassion should I have for my brother? Because I tell you what compassion God has for you, I should have for you. Because it's in there. It's in there. It's just the mindset. It's the heart. Do we have heart? We've got to have heart for people. Yeah, we've got to have heart for God, first of all. But we've got to have heart for one another. You've got to have heart. It's not about all that we know or all that we've done. But it's about love. It's about love in action. It's about reaching out and making a difference and touching people's lives. That's where you're going to be successful with people. I've always been myself around people and who God's made me to be. And it's helped a lot of people just by being Lawrence. Lawrence Christ. I'm not so special. I don't know all the scriptures and all the Greek words and all the Hebrew words. I'm not so smart as some others, right? But I tell you what, I let God work in me to be me and who he wants me to be before the people. And a lot of people relate. And I can only put that down to God working in me that way. I can't be something I'm not. Okay? I'm not going to put on a show. But I'll be who I am in Christ before you. And I know a lot of people get touched. I see it. And I'm like, I marvel at it. I'm like, wow. My gosh. Like, this has got to be God. God should get the glory for our lives. Not for even if we do a smart teaching or, you know, that we heal someone, God should be getting the glory. We rejoice at God. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Jehovah. All merciful and gracious God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. His compassion faileth not. His compassion is never fail. So our compassion should never fail because we're his kids. We got his DNA in us, spiritual DNA, which is bigger than physical DNA. Okay? Right. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Man, I just love this. This compassion is just something that needs to be there. We can be judgmental. Well, this believer hasn't done that, and they haven't done this, and blah, blah, blah. Pointing the finger. Listen, perhaps we need to be more loving. Perhaps we need to be more compassionate. Perhaps we need to be more kind and win the heart of the person that's doing the wrong. Win the heart of the person that's missing the thing. Point it out to them, but show them by our actions and love and compassion. And I tell you what, if you want to see some messed up people, you come here. You come to our fellowship. We do some stupid things at times. But you know what? God blesses us because we love. I'm not saying other people are not, but what I'm saying is that God is doing stuff with us. And other people that maybe have a religious mindset might think, what are they doing? But you know what? We see things happen because it's God. It's not us, it's God. And we're just so, we love God. And we love the Word. We're thankful for Holy Spirit, for eternal life. And we reach out to others. We're the same as you. We're no different to anyone else, you know. But what I'm just trying to say is that sometimes, you know, people can look and think, well, what are they doing? They ain't going to move the Word. But you know what? We're moving the Word because it's God that's moving the Word. We're just following His lead. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." God wants us to be kind one to another. He wants us to have a tender heart of love towards one another. And when we've done wrong or we've offended, He wants us to forgive. Even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. When someone upsets you, forgive them. When someone rouses you up, come back to the Word in your mind and forgive them. And God will bless your socks off. When someone doesn't deserve something, give it to them. Show them compassion. Show them the love of God. Show them something that they haven't seen before. The world needs to see something they haven't seen before. And that can only come by way of God in Christ, in us, and allowing God to work in us. Then we might shake up this world. Okay, Colossians. Let's have a look at a few more scriptures here. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of" what? "Mercy," which is also compassion, "kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness," not long suffering, "meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Sorry, "forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Listen, if you've got bitterness in your heart towards one person that may have done wrong, you need to forgive and let it go. Even if it's years and years ago. Even if it's just right now. Even if it was last week. If someone has done the ultimate worst to you, forgive and let it go. Don't let there be a bitterness in your heart. Because I tell you why, it will come through and show. It will come through in your ministering. It will come through in your teachings. It will come through in your relationships. That bitterness will show up. You need to deal with it. Let bitterness go, guys. It's not from God. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Bitterness is not a fruit of the Spirit, right? And I think, maybe, God's putting this on my heart, so someone that's going to listen to this may have this. Check your heart. Have you got any bitterness in there? Is there someone that you haven't forgiven that you need to forgive? Let me tell you, if there's bitterness in there, it will defile you. Get rid of it. Ask God to help you get rid of it. All right? And forgive. And walk in love. You've been forgiven much. You need to forgive someone, even if it's from years ago, even if it's from 1 minute ago. Let it go. Don't let any bitterness be in you, because that will hinder your walk. It will show through in the things that you say and do, in everything. Seriously, it will come through one way or another. So that was just something that's come to me. Philippians, I don't know who was that for. Chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. "If there be therefore any consolation or comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, no compassion. Some of this word is linked to the bowels, like it's coming from the innermost part, the depthness of you. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Look what I'm doing here. But every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll finish off. We've got, actually, there's two more scriptures. 1 Peter. And this is a wonderful record here. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 8 it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful or loving, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Man, you want to inherit those blessings and do these things. Okay, and Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. We will finish off. Galatians chapter 6, and it says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you see someone with a need, someone that's being weighted down with the burdens, and you can help them, get in there and help them. God sees what you do. God knows your heart and your heart behind what you do. And when you do it for Him, to help one of His, you are going to get blessed. And so this is the heart we had. So my heart was just to encourage on this: compassion promotes action. Just like faith, there is action. Love, there is action. Forgiveness, there is action. Tenderness, there is action. Kindness, there is action. And if you've got compassion, baby, you'll be acting. You'll be showing. You'll be demonstrating these things. This is what shows you who you are. This shows people who you are, that you are different, that you are a believer, that you are going to get people say, why do you do this? Because I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm born again of the Spirit of God, and because I've got God's nature in me, I can now do this because I believe what God says, and God has done this for me. So anyway, this is just some of the things I wanted to encourage you. So God bless your hearts.